on the line of what it means to be a saint of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Thank the Lord for this good meeting we've been in. It's really been food to my soul. I believe I need the meeting much more than what the meeting needs me. But I've really been really blessed in the meeting in my soul. The word of the Lord. Appreciate the young brethren that's stepping forward. Brother Michael Smith and Brother Clevenger. I hadn't heard them minister, but I really was blessed in their message. So I'm encouraged to see the Lord working. Does my soul a lot of good. And I appreciate all the messages I've heard. Thank the Lord. It says here, verse 2, Apostle Paul writing, it says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. We want to realize this day, my dear ones, that the Lord is calling us to be saints. The definition of the word saint is a holy person. That's the definition. The word saint in the Greek has the same root meaning as sanctified and holy. So we are called to be holy people. God wants us to not just profess to be saved, but He wants us to be holy people. And holiness, it seems like to me that is one of the greatest words in the Bible, is holiness. Personal, perfect holiness. Called to be saints. Now I want to say, I don't know how long I'll be up here, but I hope that you will take what I say, because I'm going to talk plain. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm going to talk plain this morning. And if I say something that steps on your toes, will you please not be offended, but just take it to the Lord in prayer. Because if you take offense and get hurt and rise up against what I would want to tell you, then you will not be blessed and benefited. That will cut the line off. But if you say, well, I don't quite see that, but I'm going to pray about it, then that gives the Lord a chance to deal with you. The word saint is mentioned so often in the scriptures. It's wonderful. The word saint is a wonderful word. And we are called to be saints. When you get saved, what the Lord's wanting to do with you is make a saint out of you. He wants to make a holy person out of you. He wants you to be holy in mind, holy in spirit, holy in body. He wants you to be holy in your heart, in your life. He wants you to live a holy life, a pure, godly, upright, honest, humble, meek, loving, kind, spiritual, whatever other kind of word that you could put in there. That's the way He wants you to be. Now, you won't just be up to par right now, but this should be something that we should have a vision of. You should have a vision of what it means to be a saint of God. And I believe you will if you will listen and pay attention to the Word and read your Bible and pray. You will begin to see what the Lord wants you to be as a saint of God. I believe we young people, I want to encourage you to be a saint. is the highest level of living that you could ever reach to. It is absolutely the most happy and successful way of life. A saint. You should want to be a saint. You shouldn't say, well, I guess I'll have to be a saint if I go to heaven. No, you should say, I want to be a saint of God. Because that is the happiest, most blessed way of living, is the way of a saint. Praise the Lord. Another scripture we want to go along with this is Ephesians chapter 5. And it says here, chapter 5, verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Oh, that love of the saints. That's one thing about a saint. He's full of love. The love of God. Happiness. He loves everybody. The old time religion makes me love everybody. Now listen. Walk in that love. But it says, but fornication, that is impure relations between men and women, which we have so prominent in our world today, fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Now the word become here means as is fitting and proper as saints. You see, you should live a life. Here comes my mother. Praise the Lord. As become a saint. That's what I'm. As become a saint, you should live a life that would be fitting and proper to the name saint. That's what he's saying here. Fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, they are substandard. They are not fitting to the term saint. Covetousness, you know, dear ones, I want to warn us about this love of money. And you may say, well, no, we don't have any problem with that. I'm afraid I disagree with you. The love of money is a contagious disease in our society. And a saint of God has to handle money, but it must never put their affections on that money. You must not love money. And the Lord can help us to do that. If you just knew how worthless our money was, it wouldn't be so easy to put your heart on it. A lot of our money is not hardly worth the paper it's printed on. That's the truth. It's just, I don't know what kind of word you'd say, it's just on paper. Don't put your heart on it. A saint of God's treasures are above. They're not in this world. Our treasures are in heaven. And so covetousness, miserliness, clutching, grabbing, scrimping, grasping, and holding on to it, stingy, tight-fisted, that is not to be named among. It is not a child of God. It's not consistent with being a saint. Uncleanness. A child of God is a clean person in body and soul, mind and spirit. You do not love and enjoy filth of any kind. The scripture says, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's something every person should work on every day. Consecrate, yield, obey, dedicate. You want to be a saint, a holy person. And he goes on here and says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. And the word convenient relates much with the word becoming. Not convenient, not consistent, not compatible to the standard of a saint. Filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, joking. It's so pitiful, the awful joking and jesting that's in our world today. God doesn't want His saints partaking of those things. A saint of God is a serious person. Solemn. Not giddy and cutting shines and doing things like that. But a saint is a solemn person. Now, it doesn't mean we never smile or we never laugh. But our whole life is a godly... We're this serious business. Living is serious. You know, a while back it just came to me. I know it. I've known it all my life. But it just came so hard to my soul. We are just passing through this life. Did you ever think about it? We are just passing through. We are not going to be here always. We are slipping away just one by one. And it seemed like to me it just like I was in a long culvert or a tunnel. And we're passing through, and some have already got through and gone out on the other side. I'm still down here. I'm passing through. So to be a saint, you're living for heaven, and your goals are to be like Christ. May the Lord help us here. Now we want to get some more. 1 Peter chapter 1. Lord, help us today. Oh, to be saints. Called to be saints. 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children. Oh, Lord, help. Think about this. This is something we should really be serious about. Be sober. Be solemn. Be weighty in your mind. I believe the word sober means sound in mind. Be sound in your mind. And hope to the end. This is the goal that we're reaching for, is to be what God wants us to be, so that when we reach the end of life's way, we will be accepted in holiness and righteousness and godliness, to be a saint of God. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. This world is so full of lust, ungodly desires, ungodly passions, ungodly thoughts, ungodly resolves. It's just staining our world. Thank God for the fellowship and the holiness of the saints. And meetings like this, you got when the women are dressed modestly and we're in a holy atmosphere. It's a wonderful thing. Oh, let's cling to this, dear ones. Let's not slip. Seems like we have a lot of slipping and drifting today. People are not what they used to be in their standards. Women at one time would never do what they're doing in their bodies and all, and yet they're doing it and thinking everything's all right. May the Lord help us today. We want to be saints. As He which hath called you is holy. As, a little word, as. He which hath called you is holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation, all manner of conduct. How you talk, how you act, how you treat one another, how you dress. Oh, you say, well, now he's going to get on that. Well, I want to tell you, I'm going to get on it. Because this is one of the biggest things today, is dress. How you act, how you talk, how you dress, how you walk, how you live from day to day. in all manner of conversation, be holy. Don't be loose. Don't be worldly. Don't be immodest. Don't be form revealing, flesh showing. Don't be fancy. Don't be decorative in a worldly way. Be holy. Now, you know, dear ones, we're going to come up to the judgment one of these days. And if we haven't lived holy, if we haven't striven to follow a holy standard, how are we going to answer the God of heaven that gave us these instructions? We just won't be able to do it. Be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. As he which hath called you is holy, you be holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. See, that's what kind of God we're going to face. I'm afraid there's many people today are not really diligently, sincerely, earnestly striving to follow the holy standard in the Bible. They profess, they want to go along with the crowd, they want to be counted as a child of God, but when it comes to living holy, just don't do it. May the Lord help us. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now, may the Lord help us today. 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, your reverent attitude, your holy bearing, holy mannerisms. Never read this text, but what I think about a story that I read about some men that was in a party one night, and they were talking about their wives. And one of these men had a godly wife, a holy woman. And they were talking about their good points of their wives. And finally this man said, I've got a wife that'll outdistance all of you. Oh, they said, what are you talking about? He said, well, he said, I have a godly Christian wife, and she's very strict and careful. And he says, I'll tell you what I can do. He says, I can take you all, it's about midnight, I can take you all to my house. I'll get that woman up. I'll tell her to fix a dinner for us. She'll get up. She won't whine. She won't complain. She won't back talk. She'll do it. She'll fix us a fine dinner. Oh, they said, that's, don't believe it. He says, all right, we'll do it. Did you ever hear that story? Well, anyway, they did. They went in there. He went in there where she was in bed asleep. She says, wife, get up. Got my friends here. We're all hungry. We want a nice dinner. That woman got up. She never whined. She never complained. She never said any ugly word about it. She never said, well, husband, what in the world do you think you're doing? You're coming in on me this. She didn't say a word. She got right up. She fixed them a fabulous meal. Struck every one of those men. Struck their heart. Struck her husband. He was so moved. I tell you, dear ones, holiness is the greatest thing in the world. Oh, let's seek God. If you find any unholy thing about you, oh, you don't want that cursed thing. You want to get rid of it. You want to ask the Lord to help you. We can grow in holiness. We can increase in holiness. We can learn and progress in holiness, because that's what God wants us to do. It says here, who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning. Now, you know, my dear ones, any scripture as plain as this right here, How can anyone disobey, disregard, not keep this, and be blameless when it is so plain? Who's adorning? What's adorning? That's the fix-you-up stuff, isn't it? Show off, putting on display, adorning. Earrings, finger rings, necklaces, eyeshadow. I've even seen some women with nose rings. I've seen some women with so many rings on their hand, and they always very deliberate to show them. Yes. Oh, they want you to see it. Who's adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning. You know, earrings. I had a little girl on the bus tell me one time, I got my ears pierced yesterday. They seem like they grow up, well, that's all they see. We can't blame them. That's all they see. And they just, it's an obsession. And I've known of people that at one time held a high standard and conformed to the ways of the saints, but they got on a drift, and they got to drift into the world, and here comes the earrings. What is there about earrings that's so attractive to a woman? Listen, it's a weakness of the character, a shallowness of the convictions, and a vanity of the heart and mind that want to adorn the outer man. John Wesley said, he said, when women go to adorning and fixing up the outer man, he says, I just know, I see that it's because they do not have the inward beauty, the inward graces. I've known of some of our girls, and of our people, that got adrift into the world, and you ought to see them today. They look like Jezebels. Paint, rouge, and they don't just not content with just a little bit, but they pile it on as if it is such an important thing. And they're so glad that they don't have to be so strict and modest anymore. Lord, help today. Don't we want to be saints? Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair. Plaiting and fixing up the hair. The hair is such a very touchy thing to a woman. And it's mighty touchy to a man too. I was in the barber chair one time at the barber college at Enid. And I was having a black man, he was cutting my hair, and he was real careful. I'm telling you, he was handing me with like gloves. And I finally got talked to him. I says, I want you to cut my hair. I want you to give me a good close haircut. Oh, he says, I didn't know whether. He says, you look like a pretty good sized fella. I was afraid you'd knock me flat if I cut the hair too close. I said, listen, man, I'm a Christian man. I wouldn't touch you. I wouldn't hurt you for anything. I want you to cut my hair. He says, I'll give you a good one. And he did. But see, people, he knows, that man knows. People, their hair, that's such a touchy thing. Oh, dear one, don't you know a saint of God by the Holy Spirit knows how that the Lord wants you to have your hair? Not plaiting the hair. Some women I've seen that would weave colors, threads in their hair. Fix it all up. Not plaiting the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold. That is so plain. Wearing of gold. and or putting on apparel. Who's adorning? Let it not be that. Now, I asked you a while ago not to get offended at me. This is the Word of God, the Word that the Lord Jesus gave Apostle Peter. Or putting on of apparel. May the Lord help us today. Putting on of apparel. Extra. Adorning apparel. Things that's not really needed, but gaudy, showy, flashy. Lord help us today. Can you imagine someone like Sister Fern Stubblefield or some of our older sisters here coming out with a gaudy dress on? Well, you would think, what in the world's happened to her? No, dear ones, holy men and women want to dress in a modest way. They don't want to be showy and flashy, putting on extra things. They want to be neat, plain, simple, covering up their body, covering up their form. May the Lord help us. Something non-essential?
To enhance the appearance of beauty.
Well, now, that's what they want. That's what people are wanting to do. They want to be beautiful. Well, now, I'll tell you how you can really be beautiful. Get saved. Get sanctified. Get the Spirit of God living in your heart and life. Listen to Him. Dress, act, live, speak, and do as He wants you to do, and you will be beautiful. Praise God. You will be beautiful. Remember your mother, Sister Laverna, telling one time about when she was a young girl, Sister Margaret Eck, and how that Brother C.E. Orr was preaching one time, and he's saying, I read one time if you would go out in the morning and bathe your face with the dew off of the flowers, it would help you get rid of your freckles. And she said, she was a young woman and she had young girl, she had a lot of freckles, I guess. And she just thought that interested her right now. She thought, well, maybe I could try that. But then Brother Orr went on. He said, well, now, I don't know about that. I guess he just read it or something. But he said, I'll tell you what you do. If you really want to be beautiful, bathe your soul in God's love in the morning. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I want to make a saint look so pretty and desirable that all of you want to be saints. Don't let it be the outward adorning, plaiting of the hair, wearing of gold, putting on of apparel. When I was a boy, my daddy wore neckties. And I got interested in neckties. He had a whole bunch of them in his closet. And I don't know, I got interested in neckties. I just wished I could wear one. But I didn't dare put one on, you know, to go out amongst everybody. Oh, no, didn't want to do that. But I secretly wanted to wear a necktie. So one day, when everybody else was gone, I was alone in the house. I went to that closet, and I got out the neckties. Isn't it awful? Oh, I stood before the mirror and I learned how to put them on too. Isn't it terrible? Oh, I had a big time. Vanity. Foolishness. And when I got older, I never did wear them though, thank the Lord. When I was in chorus in high school, we was going to Enid to a tri-state and sing in chorus, mixed chorus. So a director says, all the boys wear a white shirt with a tie. I thought, oh my, What am I going to do? I didn't have any ties at that time. I don't know what happened to those other ties. They disappeared. My mother might have got them away or something. I don't know. Anyway, I didn't know what to do. I was talking to one of the boys. He said, I'll bring you a tie in the morning. I'll bring one for you. Well, I thought, it looks like I'll have to wear one. I guess. You know what? He forgot to bring it. Praise the Lord, amen. He forgot to bring it. He come to me the next day. Oh, he says, I forgot the necktie. I said, that's okay. I didn't want to wear it anyway. And you know, I was the only boy in all that group of young people that didn't have a tie on. When we come to graduation, the requirement was you put your gown on, but you have a necktie on. I didn't put no necktie on. I wasn't even saved. When it come time for a class ring, when they come out with the applications to buy a class ring, I just told them I didn't want one. I wasn't saved at the time. But I was thinking about, I didn't want to do things that I knew was not according to the saints. Because I wanted to be a saint someday. And the principle, I thought I would just reject it, you know, nothing more to be said. But the principal called me to his office. And he says, Leslie, you're not going to get a ring? I says, no, sir. No, sir. Why? Well, my church teaches against it. Oh. Leslie, are you active in your church? That's what he asked me. Well, when he asked me that, I thought, well, now, what does he mean, active? I go to church every Sunday, so I says, yeah, I'm active. But the thought of, here, suppose I had yielded to the ring. Think about it now. Suppose I'd yielded to the necktie and a few other things that my mother held me back from because the saints didn't go along with those things. Suppose I'd yielded to those things. Did you know what? I have a feeling in my heart that if I'd yielded to the necktie and yielded to the ring, I might not be saved today. I could be wrong about that, but I have that kind of feeling. So you see how serious it is, dear ones? Did somebody say something?
I said, thank the Lord for the godly
running. Amen. Praise God. Oh, you've got a great calling to be a godly mother.
Amen.
Be a holy woman and a holy man. Oh, I tell you, there's nothing better. Let it be the hidden man of the heart. What do we have here? It's an inward beauty. The saints have an inward beauty. It is not outward. And for the inward beauty to really shine out, the outward must be kept plain and modest. Now, some people have the idea, well, we can have both of them. We'll go ahead and have our jewelry and our lipstick and our paint and fix our hair and cut our hair and make and frill and all this, our hair. We can do all that and still have the inward beauty. No. You can't do it. It won't work. Because all the time that you are working on that outward beauty, your soul is shriveling and not being blessed. It just doesn't work. Let's go like the scriptures. The hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. May the Lord help us. Let's talk a little more about the hair. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians. May the Lord help us today. chapter 11. Let's read a few scriptures starting at verse 11. No, that's verse 13. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Does nature teach you that a man ought not to have long hair? Oh, I tell you, dear ones, it is so sad to see men, and not only young men, but grown old men with a ponytail. Long hair hanging down. Thank God there's a better way than that. The Lord wants men to have their hair trimmed and cut in a very good way. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Up above in verse 7, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. When women cut their hair, may the Lord help us today. When women cut their hair, they are doing themselves damage spiritually in the sight of God. Because your hair is given to you as a covering. And a long hair, it says, it is a glory for a woman to have long hair. And then someone comes up and say, how long? Who would ask a question like that but someone that doesn't really have a holy purpose? How long? Just as long as it will grow. That's the only answer that I can come up with. There isn't any yardstick or anything that the Lord gives us. Say, well, then you can have it. When it gets 14 inches, you better start trimming. He doesn't say that. Let it grow as long. Now, personally, I do not believe that a woman should trim her hair. Now, you may disagree with me on this, but I want to give you some counsel. Let your hair grow naturally, and as long as God will let it grow. Because your long hair is given here as Paul's counsel, and I believe he was right, is a glory to you, and is also a sign of submission to your husband. Because of the angels, because of the leadership and the authority of the angels over men, and a woman having this long hair as a signal of her submission to her husband and to the principalities. When you cut your hair, sisters and girls, you are saying, I don't have to be in subjection. That's what you're saying. I know of one young girl that was raised in godliness and modesty and saintliness. When she got about 14, somewhere along in there, her sister-in-law took her to the beauty parlor. And they cut her hair and curled it up, pinned it up. And she came home and stood before the mirror and let her hair down with tears of joy in her eyes. But she testified that when she did that, it did something to her soul. It cut her loose from a strict and a godly disposition that she had before. You cannot go against God's word no matter how simple and how lowly it is. You cannot go against God's word without damage to your spirit. It'll do it every time. Oh Lord, help us. Don't you want to be saints? Now, if your hair is going to be long, some women's hair will grow as long as down to their ankles. Some women's hair will grow down to their waist. Now then, I don't have scripture for this, but I'm going to give you some counsel from a person that is judged of the Lord to be faithful. You know what I mean? And as I said a while ago, I don't want you to take offense at Brother Leslie and feel hard at me. If you don't agree, if you don't understand why I'm saying this, don't be angry. Don't turn away in anger. But ask the Lord to help you. Okay? It seems like in the last few years, there is such a tendency for women, not just young girls, to want to keep letting their hair hang down. That's right. There's a tendency for that. And there's not much said about it. Not hardly anything's ever said about it. Now listen. Don't you think that it would be more saintly if you had put your hair up? The Spirit of God can help you to know how to do it. But you know, here's the problem. We are flesh-bound people as well as spirit people. And it's so easy for the flesh to assert itself and whisper words and suggestions in your heart and mind, and you will not realize that it is the flesh. You look at godly women. How many of you have known godly women in your life? How do they wear their hair? I want to name a few that stands out in my mind. Sister Margaret Eck, Sister Marie Miles, well, different ones. How did they wear their hair? Sister Lottie Porter. How did they wear their hair? What would you have thought of Sister Lottie Porter when those of you that maybe some of you young ones don't remember when she was active among us? Sister Margaret Eck has been gone just not quite 2 years. What'd you think of her if she come to camp meeting at Monarch Springs and come walking into the tabernacle with her hair hanging down her back? Wouldn't that look strange? You, what? Sister Opal Wilson? Sister Catherine Key? Oh my. You know, we that are older, we are blessed to have a memory of lots of wonderful, godly men and women. Holy, righteous saints. Praise the Lord. What'd you think about if they come in, Sister Catherine Key, to get up to preach with her hair all fluffed out and hanging down? Wouldn't you think something wrong somewhere, you know? You would wonder about it. Yes, but I'm young. Yes. But my dear, dear beloved sisters and young people, pray about it. I believe the Lord, personally, I believe the Lord would have you put your hair up. You would look more saintly, more modest. Yes, but the heart is saying the boys like it better. Who are you trying to please? The boys? And what kind of boys will like it better? Lord, help us today. I'm talking plain to you, and I said I didn't have any scripture for this, but I've weighed this up through the years. I've watched it through the years. I've watched people. And I see people that are drawing close to God, living spiritual lives, holy, godly, upright. It seems like there's just a tendency they want to put their hair up. And it looks so sweet. May I say it as a man? It looks so sweet, so godly, so holy. The Lord can help you. Sister Catherine Key, I can hear her in my mind say, the Spirit of the Lord can show you how to put your hair. The Lord can help you to do that. But the thing of it is, let's be modest and holy about it. In all manner of conversation, let's watch our dresses. I'm not just harping on the women. Let's get another scripture. 1 Timothy 2. May the Lord help us today. 1 Timothy 2 and 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. A saint wants to dress modestly, men and women. It's shameful how men go without shirts, with shorts, parading around in the yard cutting their grass. Awful, unholy, ungodly. That is not pleasing in God's sight. A man to go like that. Woman in a swimsuit was absolutely disgraceful, unholy, ungodly, everything bad thing you could say about it. I almost thought about writing them. Why do they do that? It's the spirit of the world. The spirit of lust and ungodliness. Shorts. Dress is not long enough. Sisters, I'm going to say it again. If you don't agree with what I'm going to say, tell you now, don't be offended, but pray. Ask the Lord to help you. But I believe the Lord wants you to wear a dress long enough to cover up your legs, your limbs, your lower limbs, as well as others. I'll tell you what happened to me one time. I'm going to have to talk plain, so forgive me if I step on your toe. I was in a place one time where we were visiting, and there was a sister, good sister. She loved the Lord. I know she loved the Lord, but somehow, sometimes we these things slip up on us and we don't realize what's happening. Somebody has to tell us. We need good godly mothers in Israel that will instruct our young women and talk to them. But here was this sister sitting across from us there, and her dress barely covered her knees, and she was a rather large proportion woman. And I'm telling you, I couldn't sit there. I had to make a move, because the shape of both of her legs was so manifest that it grieved me at my heart. I didn't say anything, but I'm just using that as an illustration to show you how needful it is for women to keep themselves in proper behavior and cover up their legs. sit down.
When you're standing, your dress will come down maybe halfway. But when you sit down, that dress is going to come up about 4 or 5 inches. That's what you're going to have. Lord, help us today. And that, my dear sisters, is not modest. That's not modest. If you had a dress that would come down, you know how they used to wear years ago? How did the women used to wear years ago? Beautiful. And when they sat down, you didn't see anything. You say, these are small things. They may be small, but they carry great potential. I believe that God would have women to dress in modest apparel with shamefacedness. What is shamefacedness? The word shamefacedness here means blushing. Downcast. Not wanting to be exposed. In this brazen world today, it is sad that people are so brazen and with form revealing and flesh showing clothes. It is terrible. Dear ones, it is. And they don't wait for the spring to come before they come out with the shorts. Get a nice, pretty day in January. Here comes the shorts. People, and oh my, listen. And women and men both. It's not just the women, but it's the men. And they just come in such ungodly attires. And it's just so shameful. And if they just knew how awful they looked. Sometimes we kind of wondered if somebody ought to take a bunch of pictures and put them up and show just how bad everything. It just looks terrible. God wants people to be holy. Now, most of us already know these things, but I'm thinking about a saint woman. Used to be a part of the catalogs years ago, I saw this with my own eyes. They had a section in that catalog called For the Gracious Woman. And you ought to have seen it. Beautiful. Her hair was put up. Her sleeves were long. Her dresses were not clear to the ankles, but down real good. And she had a smile, I tell you, just looked like a saint. Had two or three of them on that. They don't have that anymore. They don't have that section anymore. But back probably, I think it was around 30 or 35 years ago when I saw this in one of the Sears or Montgomery Ward catalogs. But God wants us to be saints. He wants us to dress modestly. With shamefacedness, cover up your form, your figure. Cover up your flesh. Be modest. Cover up yourself. Adam and Eve put the fig leaves on. God wasn't satisfied with that. He made them coats of skins and clothed them. And it's still today a sin in God's sight. One of America's sins shining out today is the immodest dress of our generation. It's one of America's sins. And it's just terrible. Shamefacedness and sobriety. Sobriety is the same as soberness, a sound mind. Not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Yes, embarrassment. Causing distress and self-consciousness. We need to be conscientious about how we dress and how we do.
If you really want to be close to God and you really want to be holy and righteous, really be careful how you act and dress and live. You say, oh my, this is just a bunch of laws and rules. Yes, it is. But you'll always have that to follow in the Word of God. When my grandfather was a minister here at Guthrie for a number of years, he passed away in 1932. I was telling Brother Galan about it yesterday. My mother was a little girl, and they took a picture of her standing by a chair. She had a red dress on. Of course, there was no color back then. And on this front of this dress was yellow stripes. Three or four of them. Maybe tapered there toward the bottom. And he went to the first camp meeting he went to. I don't remember where it was, but he went to a camp meeting. And he had this picture of his little girl. So, now this is, I must tell you this, show how the early saints, how conscientious they were, how the Spirit of the Lord dealt with them. I don't believe the Spirit of the Lord has changed. The Spirit of the Lord still will dictate to you modesty, plainness, simplicity, if you'll listen to him. Anyway, he came to the camp meeting and he's enjoying the camp meeting. One day he's talking to some folks. Oh, he wanted to show him a picture of his little girl. So he reached in his pocket and he pulls this picture out. And he says when he looked at that picture, those stripes just stood out. And he says, this is my little girl. And whoever was looking, I said, oh, saints don't dress their little girls like that. Oh, he was struck with conviction. He put the picture away. When he got home, he came to my grandmother and he said, Bertha, he says, I want you to get that dress of Thelma and take those stripes. She says, the Spirit of the Lord has already told me. They're all gone. They're already off. The Lord's already convicted me about it. People were strict back there. We need to be strict today. Holy saints of God. Oh, dear ones today, may the Lord help us. Not only that, but how we treat one another. You know, dear ones, we need to watch out for harsh cutting words and things said. We need to be careful in our services that we magnify the Lord like we heard and holy, pure. There's something about holiness and purity, simplicity of God's saints that they stand out. And there's such a blessing. I can look down my life and I can think of holy people that I have known. All the influence, the fragrance of their life just is invigorating and comforting and encouraging. Dear ones, let's strive to be saints, watching our conversation, our conduct, watching love of money, watching fine, flashy things. You know, I went to sit at a person's house one time. They had a wedding as a friend of mine who worked at the bank, and he wanted me to come and sit. Their daughter had gotten married and had all their presents there in the house, and he wanted me to come and sit there while they went to the wedding. So I consented to do that. Oh, I tell you, I thought we had some pretty nice things at our house. My, my. Of all the fancy stuff, of all the fancy pictures and flashy things and furniture, oh my, I thought, oh, we live very simply. It made me feel better about myself, I guess. But, you know, dear ones, it doesn't take a lot of flashy, fancy things to make a happy home. No, it doesn't. It doesn't take a lot of those things. And dear ones, I want to mention about our weddings. I'm going to mention it again. I want to tell you, I would love to see more saintly weddings. It seems like maybe we're not saying enough about it. A wedding doesn't have to be fancy to be a real good wedding. There's too much fancy stuff. The dresses are too fancy. Why do we have to have the veil of the train? Why do we have to have all this fancy stuff? Dear ones, don't you think if you could pray about it and ask the Lord, Lord, I want my wedding to be a saintly wedding. It just seemed like there's people that they want to have things so fancy. Now, flowers, that's all right. That's not necessary, but flowers are all right. But a lot of fancy ribbons and lace and things that are not saintly at a wedding. Lord, help us today. Think about it. Pray about it. Ask the Lord. I know whenever we had our wedding back in 1960, my wife had a little white Bible. I believe she had a flower. She had a white dress of modest length. You were there, weren't you? A day I'll never forget. We had at the end of a service, we had the Word of God go forth. And we got up and Sister Bree Miles did the vows and everything. And I was just happy. I was no happier person on the face of the earth. We didn't need all the fancy stuff. Dear ones, God help us today. I'm not saying this to condemn you, but I'd love to see more. I don't know whether to say this or not, but I feel it in my heart. I almost dread going to weddings anymore. Really, I'm telling you the truth. I almost dread going to a wedding. I'll go ahead and go. But a lot of times I come away grieved in spirit. Too much fancy stuff. I say we don't need it, dear ones. It's a bad thing to the world to see. Don't you know that if we'll be more plain and modest and meek and plain and simple, it'll be more glorifying to God? And I'm going to tell you something else. I long to see the day when there won't be any car decorating or any rice throwing or any shivering and going down the street honking and blaring and racing their motors and following and all this kind of thing. I long to see the day when we can have a wedding when there won't be any of that worldly stuff. Now, you may not agree with me, but you ought to pray about it. Brother Leslie may not be as dumb as I look. Pardon me for saying that. But I want to tell you, we need to get a vision of what saintliness is. In Monarch Springs, Missouri, was a wedding one year, 1957. Brother Zinn and Sister Georgia Morton got married. There was a man there, old dear old Brother Thomason. He was a godly, holy, righteous, spirit-filled man. And we were all, the wedding was nice. We had the wedding and then they had a little reception, which is all right, but I want to tell you, you better watch that too. And you know, dear ones, I'm grieved when I see at a wedding the bride has to have her garter. Her garter. And pull up her dress and show her garter. Did you know that's not acceptable to the Spirit of God? Now you better think about it. That's not needed. And of course they want the camera to take a picture of it, you see. That's not needed. That's not acceptable. Don't believe the Spirit of God is pleased with that at all. But it'll slip in. I mean, they'll try to do something like that. May the Lord help us today. Anyway, while the reception was lining up, why some of the young people got in their mind and wanted to throw rice at Brother and Sister Zen. And I remember, oh my, Brother Ed Thomason, he stood out there and he says, "That's of the world." He told them, "That's of the world." He rebuked them. I don't believe that we need to throw rice at our weddings. I don't believe it. I don't believe the Lord's pleased with that. Who cleans up the mess? And who's going to be responsible for all that food you're throwing around? I tell you, dear ones, and what do you profit and what is it for? What's the purpose of it? Where does it come from? It doesn't come from heaven or the Spirit of God. I long to see the day when we have a wedding, we won't have that. And instead of out there with some of the young people painting up the car, putting toilet tissue and all kinds of gook on the car, shaving cream and putting rocks in the hubcaps and jimmying up the engine and all these kind of things, instead of doing that, and the poor young couple, they just got married and they're so wore out and everything wanting to get away, and everybody starts throwing rice at them. Now isn't that a fine thing? Bad thing. I'll stand against that as long as I have breath in my body. I'm more convicted about it as I watch it through the years. It just don't need to be. Now, parents can have a lot to do about this. Instruct your children and agree with the saints that such stuff is not acceptable. Wouldn't it be better when a young couple gets married, instead of having all this folly, form a little double line out to their car? And as they go, God bless you. And before they get in the car, let's all join hands in prayer. Pray God to bless this young couple. Goodbye. God bless you. Praise the Lord. I had to hide my car, or had to have my dad watch over it while I was getting married. Had somebody else take me to the car. Somebody said, "They're going to get you at Monarch." I had to pray about that. One young man, he eluded the pursuers at the wedding and got away from them some way and escaped. And later, he was talking about it, and he kind of got a little bit giddy and high-headed. He said, "I got away from them. They didn't do anything to me." And you know, those guys picked him up and took him way up in the mountains and let him walk home. You think that's godly? You think that's the Spirit of God? Go into a couple's bedroom and put sand in their sheets? Tie their pajamas in knots? Lord have mercy. People are going to have to answer for what they do. That's not acceptable. When a young couple is married, and we escort them out to the car and have prayer with them, "Goodbye, God bless you, we'll be praying for you." And they're going on their way and they're so happy, and they don't have a whole parade of honkers and screaming young people and dragging a bunch of tin cans. Can't you see what saintliness is? Get a vision of being a saint. And how many times I've been at a wedding I was wanting to get away before all that nonsense started. Sometimes I get caught in it anyway. But, and like I said a while ago, pray for me. I almost dread going to a wedding. These things, dear ones, we need to get concerned about, because the Lord's not pleased with them. That's why He wants us to be saints. And He wants to have saintly homes. Should we get on that? He wants us to have saintly homes. He wants a saintly atmosphere in our homes. He wants a family altar in a marriage. Pray together. I tell you, I don't know how many things my dear wife and I, we prayed out. Worshiping God. Praying burdens away. Praying the Lord to meet our needs. Worshiping God together. Holy atmosphere. Not saying this boastfully. Different people have been to our house and just to say there's just such a precious atmosphere here. We feel so rested. One couple came and they were weary with some of the labors and they said, we just feel like we've been refreshed. What is it? It's the holiness of God. It's the presence of God. We need to strive for it. Reach out after it. Work on this thing, dear ones, to be a saint in purity and holiness and godliness, modesty and meekness and plainness and faith. It's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. You know what? People are going to remember you by how you've lived and how the standards that you've held up. Oh, God, help us today. Oh, I've got a few more minutes. I want to talk a little bit about the saints. Just in Revelations chapter 5 and 8, it says, when He had taken the book, this is the Lamb, Jesus, 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials, golden bowls, full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. You know, I thank the Lord for the prayers of God's holy saints. They echo in my mind down through the ages, down through the years that I have been amongst God's people. Oh, I think about dear Sister Lizzie Jordan. There's something about her prayers that when I first got saved, I heard her praying. Oh, it just something about it. Keep us on the victory side. Help us to run and not be weary and walk and not faint. Because You're coming out. You're coming for Your bride one of these mornings. And we want to go walking into heaven one of these mornings. Help us to hold fast and not faint. Help us to run and not be weary and not faint. Because this world in sin is lost. Oh, precious, precious prayers of the saints. Just going up before God. I got her on tape one morning in the prayer meeting here several years ago. I had the tape recorder and I knew she's going to be praying, and I got her and Sister Fern Stubblefields and Sister Eva Penner. Oh, dear Sister Eva Penner, that woman prayed such earnest prayers. She's just pouring out her hearts to the Lord. Oh, I can still hear old Brother Thomason. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee this morning, it's surely, Lord, we thank You for Your blessing. Oh, my. Come into a meeting one night, went out there at his chapel, and he was in prayer. We got there late, and I'm telling you, that man was a-praying to all his might. He was a-praying, oh, God, and down his knees, just pouring out his heart to God. Oh, my. It was wonderful. And Brother Murphy Allen, he is kneeling there. Mighty God, mighty God. He was really agreeing in prayer with Him. Oh, dear ones, the prayers of the saints are an incense that come up before God. Oh, dear ones, I want to say we need to be praying people. A saint of God is a praying person. You develop that prayer life, that link between you and God. Oh, be a praying saint, dear ones. May the Lord help us today. One writer says, the devil trembles
when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees.
Oh yes, may the Lord help us. Another place, chapter 8, it tells about another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar. And the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. The prayers of the saints. Are you a praying person? I'll tell you, dear ones, if you'll be a praying saint, I mean pray, not just say a prayer, but really pray until you pray and get a hold of God in heaven, you will have a happy life, and the Spirit of the Lord will lead you and bless you and guide you. May the Lord help us today. Then over here in the 13th chapter and the 10th verse, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Well, a saint of God is a saint that goes through trials, hard places. I have never known of any real saint of God but what has had their portion of hard things and sad things and hard trials. I've never known there's just no such thing as a real saint of God that don't go through the hard trials of life. That's part of it. Oh, be a faithful saint. Patience. Oh my. One of the great attributes of a saint of God is his patience, his gentleness, his graciousness in the times of trial and trouble. Don't you want to be a saint? You have to work on these things. Be a real holy saint of God. And the 19th chapter is another wonderful one. And the 7th verse, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. That fine linen, the church of God, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. The fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Praise the Lord. Their lives are pure. They're holy. They're righteous. They're godly. They're faithful. They're true. They're modest. They're meek. They're pure. They're gentle. They're kind and loving. Listen, their modest, holy, righteous lives is the white linen that's clean and pure and white. Oh, may God help us today. Oh, another scripture that I like is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And it says in the 10th verse, speaking about the coming of the Lord, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony was believed. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Colossians 1 and 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Oh, may the Lord help us today. The saints of God walking in the light. Oh, dear ones, God wants us to be pure and holy, walking in the light, godly like he is, pure and holy like he is. Saints of God, they're going to be his bride. They are his bride. Can't you see a picture? Somebody mentioned it yesterday out at the cemetery. Those holy people that we have deposited their mortal bodies in the earth in that great day. It's going to burst wide open. And the holy saints are coming out from all over the world. Praise the Lord. Don't you know it's going to be a wonderful day? Get in these old gospel trumpets, 1899. Here was a saint of God. Died trusting the Lord. Praise the Lord. All down through the ages. Don't you know that's going to be a beautiful sight? When all the saints robed in their white robes come forth in the resurrection. Oh, that's his bride. Don't you know Jesus is going to be happy that day when his bride comes to him, a holy people. Oh, it's wonderful. Praise God.
Oh, one more. Maybe close out with this one. Psalms 116. You know what that is, don't you? 116 and 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. You ever at a bedside of a saint of God going out? Praise the Lord. Somebody years ago, I don't know just how they did this, but they tried to make an experiment and hooked up some kind of a counter or a gauge on an old, wicked, ungodly man and brought it to him and hooked him all up, and he was dying. And they had one of the nurses taunt him and kind of aggravate him. He got mad. He's right in his dying hour. He got mad and he cursed and swore and said that old needle of that thing was a hitting over on the negative post. Banging on that negative post. Then they got an old godly saint of God, woman. Got her hooked up to it. I don't know. Did you ever read? There's a tract about that. And they hooked her up, and as death came, she was a praising God. She was a rejoicing in her soul and said that old counter thing was a hitting on the positive. Oh, dear ones, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I've been at the saints, dying saints' bedside, different ones. It's just like you've been to heaven and back. Makes you want to go on and be with Him. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I'll just take it like this. It's a precious thing to die faithful to God. Precious thing. That ought to be your goal. The goal of your life, Lord. I want to be ready and holy and righteous when I leave this world so I can be accepted of You. That should be your goal. Because it's coming. It's coming to you. I hope we've been able to express ourselves in the right way. I don't want to discourage or confuse or crush. Oh, no, never. I would never want to do that. But these are things that we have learned from the Scriptures and from experience, that if you will pray about it and look to the Lord, I believe the Lord would lead you into deeper depths of holiness and purity and saintliness as never before. God bless you.